Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. And boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about a packed news day. I've got a packed show for you as well. Obviously, the biggest news, the most recent news, as if no one expected this, is President Trump has been charged by Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, of course. $250 million civil suit. All right. Now, this was on Breitbart earlier, perhaps. I don't know if it's still up there now or not. But just so you know, New York Attorney General, if you haven't heard this, New York Attorney General Letitia James, a Democrat, a Soros-funded AG, took a very dramatic step of filing a lawsuit against former President Donald Trump and his three grown children. We're talking Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka Trump, and Eric Trump. I can talk, yeah. And what this will do, or what this is intending to do, of course, aside from being part of the toolbox of tyranny, which is what I'm going to be talking about, the toolbox of tyranny that also includes nuclear war, which is coming. What this is designed to do is to keep President Trump, keep Donald Trump from ever serving as executives at any company in the state of New York, and or to bar the Trump Organization from buying any commercial real estate or obtaining loans from financial institutions in New York for 5 years. Now, here's the part that they're not saying, that I've been running this down as best I can. There is a parallel criminal investigation being conducted here. And it's obviously of the same political nature as this civil lawsuit. Okay, so understand that we don't have a two-party system anymore. We have the hierarchy and then the serfs. And the hierarchy is comprised of both Republicans and Democrats, depending on the Republican, but pretty much most of them, if not all of them, not most of them. I'm not going to paint with that big of a brush. And obviously the communist Democrats, I'm not even going to call them Democrats anymore. They're communists. And I'll show you why here shortly, because the toolbox of tyranny is full of different tools. One, of course, is lawfare. You saw that. Now, this is, to me, this is lawfare. You see it every single day. You see it in the Alex Jones trial. That's, to me, lawfare. Roger Stone, for example. These are examples. Steve Bannon, as an example. Peter Navarro. Now, you've got the civil part and the criminal part. And they play off one another, okay? Having experience in this, on both sides of this issue. Did you hear what I said? In dealing with attorneys. That's all I can say. I know what I'm talking about. And it's coming to people that you would not expect. It will be coming through the January 6th committee as well to at least 100 more people. At least 100 more people. This harassment, this persecution, this political witch hunt that's greater than anything that has ever existed in this country before. please understand what's taking place here. This is to absolutely destroy President Trump, but just not President Trump. Anyone who has ever supported him, sided with him, associated with him, talked favorably or posted favorably about him. That's what this is about. This is about you. And remember that photograph. It's not just me there after, it's you. I'm just in the way. That is very, very true. That is so true. So that's the big news, of course, of the day. Oh, Eric the Tech, by the way, earlier today, you and I happened to catch a speech of Joe Biden at the United Nations. I don't know who's talking about this, okay? I don't know. But recalled a few days ago, the 60 Minutes interview where Biden was asked about his cognitive abilities. All he said was, watch me. People doubt your cognitive abilities. Biden says, watch me. Remember that statement? Well, guess what? We have been. We did. Why in the hell do you think why in the hell do you think people are questioning his cognitive, his ability to, you know, run the country? Well, how many people saw the UN speech today? I don't know if we can get this up or not. This, okay, at the end of the speech, I want to show you this. Whenever Eric the Tech has a chance to get it. What's that? Okay. Yeah, you know, we'll get it up here and show you. Because you're not, if I explain this to you, it would not do justice. You wouldn't believe it anyway, but it would not do justice. You've got to see this for yourself and decide for yourself. Because this is the guy that has been selected to sit in the Oval Office, play president, was, remember, 81 million votes, right? Yeah, I don't think so. This is a man that was selected to represent the United States in matters of international concern. And boy, are there ever matters of international concern. Again, while Eric the Tech is working on that, and I want to give him some time for that, I just want to kind of go over what I want to get into. Of course, we spoke about the civil charges being filed by the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James. What a darling there. Do some research on her, okay? Because of the Newsday. Bill Barr, folks, I've been talking about Bill Barr. Do a search on Bill Barr, Bill Barr and Ruby Ridge, Bill Barr and some of the other things that happened in the 90s, early 2000s, Bill Barr's father, Jeffrey Epstein. You'll get the idea, because I saw a comment on the Rumble page about somebody saying, hey, yeah, you know, you're kind of going for the bottom of the barrel there, right? Well, no, not when you understand the nature of Bill Barr and how far back this goes, and the why none of what he's saying right now about President Trump and about the special master appointed and about the raid at Mar-a-Lago and such, none of this should surprise anyone. And by the way, here's a former president. Think about this: two impeachments based on false evidence, false documentation. Now, I'm going to be getting into that because, again, that's part of this toolkit of tyranny. Two impeachments, just constant harassment every single day by people, by the media, by the globalists and everything. So he must be doing something right. Faults and all, he must be doing something right. The goal, however, make no mistake about this, the goal of this lawsuit is to file criminal charges against President Trump. Because what this does, I mean, the basis for this is the valuation of his properties. So in order to obtain lower insurance rates, for example, obtain lower rates on lending from lending institutions and such. So it's really a white-collar crime. And really, if she's been working on this for 3 years, man, I feel, as she said, I believe it was 3 years or 2 years, whatever, as she said, years, I feel bad because what a putz of an investigator. Okay, but anyway. Now, the United Nations speech was a lot about climate change. And climate change is the capstone, or will be the capstone, the response to this fictitious climate change, fictitious man-made climate change, will be the capstone for the global reset, the Great Reset. The part one of this, the initial testing, I suppose, for this was the coronavirus response, or SARS-CoV-2 response. Okay, so this climate lockdown, the fictitious man-made climate change will be the pretext for a major lockdown and even a push toward a financial reset because of, well, as a result of the complications from the climate change lockdown. I don't know if I made sense there. It's they play off one another. All right. Just yell if you have that, and I'll show that before I forget. Yeah. All right. Well, in the meantime, rather than do that, Eric the Tech, and in fact, we can even play that toward the end of the show. I want to play this audio. This was on the Gateway Pundit. Now you know I have guests on here who don't like Stuart Rhodes. I've met Stuart Rhodes, and I've got listeners who don't like him. I've got listeners who like him. It doesn't matter. Okay, it just doesn't matter. Pretend his name is John Smith, or it doesn't, because the name does not matter. What matters is something more nefarious here. Gateway Pundit had a story about Stuart Rhodes and about a threat that his attorney received. Remember, we haven't really moved off of Lawfare yet. And the Gateway Pundit had unhinged East Bay doctor. Now, we're talking a medical doctor. Calls and leaves harassing message with Stuart Rhodes' attorneys. Says he wants Rhodes exterminated, and then he confirms that call to the Gateway Pundit, okay? Now, why do I bring this up right at this moment? I bring this up because what is taking place here, again, in the toolbox of tyranny, it is necessary to divide the country, obviously, and keep it divided and exacerbate that division. Now, this is what Biden did on September 1st. Remember when he was giving his speech, the red speech, as it's referenced in some cases, and the memes associated with Hitler or other dictators. Do you remember that? I know you do. And I know you know what I'm talking about. If we have that picture from that speech, you can put it up. At this point, just to remind people, if not, no worries. There it is right there. Okay. And of course, you'll find memes on social media, not necessarily on Twitter, but on the media platforms I'm on, which are Parler, Gab, Getter, Truth Social, of memes that mimic or that compare Biden to Hitler, all right? But what did this particular speech do? Remember, the media said, look, we want to unify the country. Or the media said that Biden was saying that we have to be a unified United States, right? We have to be unified. Well, that speech did anything but unify the country. Again, this is part and parcel to the toolkit of tyranny that I'm talking about. This chaos, which is needed for them to thrive in order to bring down the lockdowns for another reason, in order for them to use their weaponized Department of Justice against the patriots, against the conservatives, Christian conservatives, who they are after. If we can, Eric the Tech, I don't know if we can play from the Gateway Pundit, the actual phone call of this doctor. If so, let's do it now.
Well, I can imagine that you're overwhelmed. This is Dr. Richmond calling from Piedmont, California. Just a quick word. Nice to know another member of the neo-Nazi party. Anyone representing a piece of vermin who walks this planet, like Stuart Rhodes, who ought to be exterminated or thrown in prison with the key thrown away also, has to have their head examined. This is disgusting. First of all, I just got off the phone with the attorney who's representing Stephen Bannon, another piece of dirt that's wandering our planet and trying to destroy our democracy. But Stuart Rhodes is really, really takes the cake, head of the Oath Keepers. You should be ashamed. You're a member of the neo-Nazi party, whether you say so or not. You're representing Republicans to the far extreme right. This man is off the scale. This man should be put in prison, and hopefully he will be. Have a nice life, man. And my phone number, just in case you want to know that you spoke to a real doctor.
I'm cutting off now, because then you hear beeps and stuff like that. You get the idea, okay? Because the beeps would, they're very loud, and it would just make you angry. To cover the phone number. But here's why I bring this up. Out of everything that we could be talking about right now, why that? I mean, that's so insignificant. The reason is this. This is happening all over the country. You may not hear about it, but this is happening. I can tell you it's happening with Alex Jones. It's happening with other podcasters and broadcasters. Yeah, I'll stop there. Okay, thanks. All right. So this is where Biden and the left, the communist left, is taking this country to a level where we are not going to be able to retreat from, because this will, I do believe, go kinetic here. Again, toolbox of tyranny. We're looking at it. All right, now what we were talking about earlier about Biden's speech at the United Nations, the way we had to get this video is, I'm sorry about it, but you'll see. But watch this, and you tell me, you go back to that 60 Minutes interview after, but watch this and tell me that this guy is running anything except his mouth and his diapers. Here it is.
We're not passive witnesses to history. We are the authors of history. We can do this. We have to do it for ourselves and for our future, for humankind. Thank you for tolerance, for listening to me. I appreciate it very much. God bless you all.
I watch.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank.
What in the hell was that? Can anyone explain that to me? Oh, my head hurts. What is that? A good 3 seconds.
It's a nice wall. He's appreciating the wall. He's thanking the wall.
Can we see? Did he like reach his hand out or anything like that? I can't really tell. And Yeah. So for radio listeners, what we just saw, what we just witnessed is...
Thank you all. You're beautiful.
Is Biden, of course, standing at the podium. And after he gets done, closes his notebook, turns 180 degrees around, and stares at the wall for like 3 seconds. Is that normal? Yeah. Eric Dick said, yeah, that's normal. Normal for him.
I stare at walls all the time.
I don't even know if anyone's talking about this. Okay. When I saw this, in fact, Eric and I were together, and we both looked at each other. I said, "You see that?" And he's like, "What was that? Could that be a green screen?" And he's actually talking to people behind that green, or, you know, behind that mirage. Well, he was at the UN, so probably not. That's it. So, but that's who's got it's allegedly, that's who has his finger on the nuclear trigger. Speaking of which, well, you know, we'll end with that. I just wanted you to see this because that to me was like, I don't know. I don't even know what that was. And I hope people will take notice of that. And how can anyone justify that? I want to hear the justification for that. Oh, the handshakes. No, he was just pointing to the crowd. I want to hear the justification for this. The guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. The guy's no one's home. Ain't no one there. All right. Okay. Let's see here. Earlier today, and again, part of the toolbox of tyranny is the weaponization of our law enforcement. Now, Dan Bongino is going to have special interviews. I can't remember if it's tomorrow, tonight, soon. With the FBI, with an FBI whistleblower. Now, I want to get into this a little bit, but from a different angle, from John Solomon, as well as from Bongino. But if we can, did we get that resolved with John Solomon or no? Okay. All right. Here is a clip from John Solomon from earlier today. The FBI's own committee of special agents had complaints of FBI's making things political. How's that? Redacted in report. Okay, now go ahead and play. Go ahead from the beginning to whatever minute 35, roughly. Listen to what John's got to say. And there's also, he also filed a report yesterday, I believe it was. But take a look at this. Go ahead.
Cramp for time, but I said this thing's pretty important. You're saying this Grassley asked one of these questions at the hearings they were trying to dodge, but that there's information over at the FBI, a report that they refused to make public, and is it correct that senior field agents in this, and it's a regular report they do, but they're actually giving feedback back to FBI headquarters that they think the situation in the FBI has become over politicized? Am I hearing that correctly, John Solomon?
You've heard it exactly right. So remember, Senator Grassley says he has 15 different FBI whistleblowers that have come to him talking about the politicization of the FBI, politics trumping evidence, politics trumping the law in efforts to open investigations. And one of the allegations he now has gotten that he can't get Chris Wray to answer is there is a thing called the Committee of Special Agents. It advises the director, one agent from each field office. They make a committee. They come up with the issues that need to be resolved. They have direct access to the director. They wrote a report or had a report that included this information that the field agents now believe the FBI has become too politicized, that decisions are being made for political reasons, not for law enforcement, legal, or intelligence reasons. And they get that report, they send it up the chain, and it comes back edited, censored, with all the references to politicization taken out. Senator Grassley wants to know, first, why are the agents so concerned that they take it to the director? And two, who would have the moxie to edit that concern out of the report rather than let the director address it and deal with it.
John, don't they understand that there's going to be a new sheriff in town on November 8th that starts the new year, that all this stuff, preserve the documents, we're going to get all of this? I mean, you're an investigator. I'd be very surprised if you weren't testifying in front of Congress, but all this is going to come out, and it's always the cover-ups worse than what they originally did. What doesn't the FBI, that should know this better than anybody, is are Ray and these and Garland that stupid, sir?
Okay, pause just for a second. Here's my statement from yesterday. The midterms to me are plan B. And I'll show you why I say that. Because I don't know if there will be midterms, at least midterms in the fashion that they should be held, or as we would know them as fair midterms. And again, I'm going to bring you the evidence and you decide. That was John Solomon. Now, there are 56 field offices of the FBI. At least there were last I knew. Okay. And what John Solomon was saying is the field offices, they would send reports to the Washington headquarters. Washington headquarters would actually change, redact, and edit, if you will, and send the reports back, looking for cases, ultimately now, cases of domestic violent extremists. Now, I know that's not the terminology used there. I know that that's not, but that's the case. And the reason I say that is because I do have a contact, as well as I've got other statements as well, including parts of the Dan Bongino interview with the whistleblower, that make that case. So this is the complete weaponization of a federal law enforcement agency, and agencies, plural, I'll throw others in there as well, under DHS, under the National Security Division of the Department of Justice. People who have the ability to take away your freedoms. You think, oh, it's bad because you got censored from Facebook or Twitter or whatever. No. Wait until you don't have freedom anymore when somebody with a badge and a gun comes to your door, or multiple badges and guns come to your door and takes you to wherever they want to take you because of your political ideology. That's what is coming right now. Well, that's here right now. That's what's being practiced by the FBI, by the field, but by the rank and file agents as well. But some are waking up. Grassley and others said 15 whistleblowers. I heard 33 whistleblowers. I don't know what the number is. I'll take the 15. But every single person of moral integrity should be, that working for the FBI, should be either saying, hey, this is wrong, and becoming a whistleblower, or resigning. Of course, we know what happens to whistleblowers, don't we? All right. That was John Solomon. To buttress that was from earlier today. Now, yesterday, Dan Bongino talked about a very similar thing. Somewhat the same thing. That was an outgrowth of what Bongino spoke about yesterday. I want to play this clip as well to kind of give you a larger picture of what is taking place. Because John Solomon wrote a couple of reports, one yesterday, one today, about this issue and others with the federal law enforcement, that you need to understand what's coming. So let's go to video 4. Dan Bongino from 920. I hope I got this right. Go ahead and play this one.
It's not what this whistleblower is saying. So Jim Jordan wrote a letter to the FBI director, Ray. Clearly he's disgraced himself repeatedly. That they're using a manipulative case file practice. Did you hear this? That was being conducted by the Bureau's Washington field office. Check this. Which was instructing local FBI offices to open up cases on their books that were in fact simply related to the Capitol breach. The FBI's case categorization creates the illusion that the threats from domestic violent extremists are present in jurisdictions across the nation. You see what they're doing here, folks? You see the scam?
Pause that for a second now. You can take that off and bring it back up. But here's what's going on. Let's say you live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, I'm just picking that out at random. Please, no emails. So let's say you live in Tulsa. You went to the Capitol on January 6th. What the FBI is doing is saying, okay, there was criminal activity, obviously, at the Capitol on January 6th, but the Tulsa field office is opening an investigation on John Smith or whatever from Tulsa and looking and counting that as a domestic violent extremist person or organization or cell. So now they're saying, okay, we've got, not only do we have trouble in Washington, we got trouble in Tulsa. So multiply that, not just by the people who have been charged or the people who have been incarcerated, multiply that by the number of people who were in Washington, D.C. and never stepped foot in the Capitol. That's what's taking place. That's where, and the media and this regime that's in Washington, what they're doing is they're demonizing these people who are, could be absolutely 100% innocent of anything, but they're opening up files. They're opening up cases. They're saying this is a case of a domestic violent extremist here, right here in Tulsa or whatever town it might be. Now with that, and please understand because, okay, so look, I was never an FBI agent. Okay. I was never, all I was an informational and operational asset for the FBI and for the Department of Justice. So I do know things. I do know how certain things work, but not to the level of like a Dan Bongino because of his Secret Service experience and police experience. So what this is doing is creating this false narrative of a larger population of domestic violent extremists. I hope you understand that. And by doing so, that also affects the funding into the law enforcement bodies and also the focus of personnel into people who don't deserve it. Go ahead and continue with that clip.
When in reality, they all stem from the same investigation concerning January 6th. The whistleblower says, such an artificial case categorization scheme allows FBI leadership to misleadingly point to significant increases in domestic violent extremism threats nationwide, he added. So, folks, we heard last week on the show that apparently, according to another whistleblower, the FBI has white supremacy quotas or some form of wink and nod quotas where, hey, you know, it'd be really great if you recategorize that case as a white supremacy racism investigation. Why would they want to do that? Because Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, two disgraces for the human beings, for human beings, the president and the attorney general, respectively, they want the American public to believe that there is a massive problem with overt white supremacist racism in the country that only the Democrats are going to protect you from. Remember the Democrats' party line, folks. Their party line is this. Their party line is, don't vote for us. We don't have anything. Well, don't vote for us. That's not what they're saying. No, it is. They're saying vote against the other guys, the Republicans, because they're the racists. They don't say vote. They don't run on anything to vote on. None of these things are popular. We're going to hike your taxes. We're going to tell your kids where to go to school. None of these things are popular. Okay, what they do, what their primary means to get.
Okay. So, and you can close that video. Okay. So now, what do you do if you are a communist in this country, a communist politician in the executive branch or in the intelligence community, what do you do? What's necessary for you to do out of your toolbox of tyranny, toolkit of tyranny? you create emergencies. Remember on 9/11, NDAA, the Patriot Act was created. And then, of course, that state of emergency is being renewed over and over and over again. So they're using that emergency to renew the state or that erroneous perception that they're peddling to renew the state of emergency. Because in order for them to mess with the midterms or any election, they cannot have things back to normal. So they have to have this perpetual state of emergency. Now, part and parcel to that, there's two videos I want to play. This has to do with the injecticide. But it also has to do with something else I just spoke of, and that is the midterms. Hopefully I can play this out the way I had it during show prep. Let's go to video one. Video one is a gentleman by the name of Edward Dowd. Now, he used to work for, I think, BlackRock, all right? And he's a researcher. He found data by his team working with Naomi Wolf and others showing the disabilities and deaths outside of the norm with respect to the response to the bioweapon known as COVID-19. In other words, the injecticide. Watch this. This is video number one, Edward Dowd. Here it is.
Do we have a chart that shows that? Because then that would be the kill shot.
Oh, I have five charts. I have five charts.
Keep walking. We got plenty of time, and this is so huge that because it's going to set the table for everything else we do. Keep going through your charts.
Let's do chart one. I came on your show a couple weeks ago. This is the disability data, raw data, U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's the real-time employment survey. It's not tied to disability claims. There's no lag. It's real-time, self-reported, statistically imputed. And you and I talked about the fact that it was running around 30 million, and it's risen to 33 million, or about a 10% absolute increase. And you can see that it started in 2021. And that's just eyeballing it. Now let's go to the next chart that my PhD partners in my hedge fund in Portugal came up with. This is the civilian labor force. These are people that are available to work or are working. That's about 161 million people. This is the rate of change analysis, the year-over-year rate of change. You can see it doesn't really change that much. And then suddenly, in starting around May of 21, we see a 3-standard deviation rate of change, and year-over-year rate of change. Okay? So this is Wall Street talk, but that's a signal. And, you know, a 3-standard deviation event happens about, that means that things were going on beyond the average that usually only occurred 0.003% of the time or 0.03% of the time. It's just like, when 3-standard deviation events happen on Wall Street, that's a signal. If this was a stock, I'd be doing work on the stock to see what's going on here, to see if this trend would continue. So this is a trend change. All right, let's go to the next chart. This is the population, the total U.S. population broken down by men and women. And you can see the disability rate for men and women rose in 2021. And it rose from about a long-term average of 7.5% to 8%. This is the total U.S. population. So that increase in the disability rate is 6.6%. From 7.5% to 8% is 6.6%. Let's go on to the next chart. And we break it down into employed. Now, I want to walk everyone through the population set. So I just showed you the total U.S. population. Employed is a subset of the civilian labor force, which is 161 million. The employed are the people who are willing to work and working. That's about 100 million. You can see the black line down on the bottom is ages 16 through 64, which would be people who are, working that aren't, retired. And you can see that there was a sudden stark rise in that rate. And it rose from about 3.1% to, 3.8%, or a 22.6% rate of change versus the 6.6% rate of change in the U.S. population. So, curiously enough, employed people are getting disabled at a faster rate than the general U.S. population, and that's about 100 million people. Let's go on to the next chart, and this is even more stark. You can see it eyeballing it. This is men and women. It's broken down by men and women, and you can see the rapid rate of change in the disability rate. For women, it went from 3.1 to 4.1%, which is a 30% increase in the rate of disability. And in men, it went from 3.1 to 3.7%, or a 19% increase in the rate of disability. So the disability data shows that while overall it was only a 6.6% increase, in the employed population, it went off the charts, and it was a major second derivative rate of change increase for this group. So we have disability data. We have group life data, which is a subset, healthier population. And employed people tend to be healthier than the overall population. So why are healthy people experiencing higher death rates and disability rates than those who have choice and are not working in general? This is big metadata. So there's a signal here, huge signal. It's a mic drop.
All right. That's fine. Okay. So earlier today, I asked someone about this. I said, now, let me get this straight. The disabled, ostensibly now, based on the chart data from the injections, let's just use that as a premise, is exponentially, term used properly, higher post-injection and rising. Yes. Okay. My question to this individual, additional questions, is why? In other words, what would be the motive to disable someone as opposed to outright kill them? Okay. Especially if they're the compliant ones. Let me add that in there. They're the ones who are running to get the injections because the government told them. Wouldn't they run to do whatever? Okay. There's a three-part answer to that. Look what it's doing to the economy. Economic slam. Number two, the healthcare system. You want to bring down a country? Bring down its healthcare system. 25 to 28% of our economy is healthcare, and it's rising too. Stresses the healthcare system. We're not going to have enough people to supply the hospitals and not enough doctors and nurses. And thirdly, it instills a lack of trust in the medical professionals. So that lays the groundwork. Hey, if they want to release something really deadly and say, here's an injection or here's a vaccine or whatever, you think that people are going to run to get that after they start seeing these numbers? No. Okay, let's go to video two, Naomi Wolf. This is from the same, this is earlier today, I believe it was. This is a fantastic piece with Steve Bannon as well, video two.
But I really want to credit Ed. He has not just come out with this data last week. He's been presenting objective numbers for months and months and months, and his objective numbers also predicted that we would come to this day. There's nothing surprising about this day, because he said months ago there's a signal, and anyone who understands math in any basic way or statistics understands that signals don't come out of nowhere. Otherwise, they're not a signal, right? A signal means something is happening that's anomalous. And so it's utterly predictable that months later, if some people started to die in a certain age group or be disabled, you're going to see down the road, multiples of people dying or being disabled, unless something has changed in the environment to take that signal away. And there's no indication that that's the case. So he's in reality land. It's where we all used to live. And I'm in reality land. And what I do want to say is that, and you are, and your audience is. But what I do want to say is that to Ed is that I actually have some data to confirm what he's finding, because he found a notable difference between women and men in terms of disability. I believe he said 19% for men and 30% rise for women. Our data sets via Dr. Robert Chandler, he found in the Pfizer documents that there was a nearly 72% over male. In other words, that women had 72% of the adverse events compared to men, grossly more than men, and that reproductive disorders specifically are 16% versus 0.49%. So we also are independently finding that women are hurt more seriously, more severely, and more frequently than men are. Two totally different.
All right. Remember what Yuval Noah Harari had said about, we don't need more people. We have too many people. How great would it be, in his eyes, to make sure that births would not happen? You go after the women, their reproductive cycles, as well as men, but specifically women, at a higher rate, and you see birth rates decline, especially among the people. Among the white urban professionals. That's what's happening here. Now, she goes on, we'll pick it up from here. She goes on and explains, in addition to what I just said, her thoughts. Go ahead.
Different data sets that are saying the same thing, confirming independently the same signal. And we can talk more about why that might be. But I guess the reason I think it's so important is he's not misinterpreting. He's not making it up. I'm not, you know, Dr. Chandler isn't misinterpreting. Dr. Chandler isn't making it up. And independently, you're seeing the same reality from completely different data sets, which in journalism we used to call a fact or a confirmed piece of evidence.
Naomi, look. One of the reasons I'm so glad you guys are able to carve out time today and head you on, because I call you Cassandra in a degree, but you've been warning us about these emergency orders and the dictatorial power of the emergency orders since the early spring of 2021, when you first started coming to the show. I think it was February, March. And Naomi, Charlie Kirk today came on the show, and then he had his entire show was dedicated to why is the emergency order? What could happen between now and November 8th? And you've been early on in this cycle saying, hey, I'm not feeling it. I'm not so sure we're going to have an election. Now, the numbers are all shifting heavily, as we went through in the morning show, to looks like the red tsunami is starting to actually build in Georgia and in Wisconsin, starting in Arizona, maybe get there in Pennsylvania, and, of course, other battleground districts. I have a question. He said on 60 Minutes, Joe Biden said on 60 Minutes, the pandemic's over. Categorically, pandemic's over, right? You got a little problem. And Fauci and the Surgeon General are trying to cover it. But why, Naomi Wolf, is the emergency order? And I don't know why the Republican Party is not standing up and shouting this. Why is this emergency order still out there, ma'am?
I mean, I just have to, like, note that I've been saying since probably spring of 2021 that at this point in the calendar, we would be under emergency law. It's so predictable, again, just knowing the history of tyrannical overthrows of democracies, you don't go into midterms without being under emergency law. Because, you know, as I've said a million times, if you have emergency law, it means anything can be done to the midterms in the name of the emergency. It suspends the normal rule of law. And so, you know, there's no way we wouldn't be under emergency law right now, according to my analysis and according to the projections of history. So what they're doing is, and this relates, believe it or not, to what Ed Dowd presented, is that they're saying it's over so that you vote for them, right? There's no way they wouldn't say it's over right before the midterms. I think I predicted that at some point as well. That's so easy. That's like political consulting 101. Declare the emergency is over right before the midterms. So people are like, oh, well, they took care of that. They're, you know, COVID is gone. The president said so. I guess I'll vote for him. Why change horses in midstream? And then they have the emergency law, which people aren't paying attention to, don't know enough about. New York Times is not covering it. You know, this is the 11th extension of emergency law. And so what it means is people will be swayed to vote for Biden, those who are inclined to vote for him because he made COVID go away. But at the same time, they've got emergency law in place so they can do whatever they want on election day. They can say, I've played out these scenarios so many times, I feel like a broken record, but it's all coming true exactly the way I told everyone it would. There's a climate crisis. You can't leave your home to vote. Everything has to be mail-in ballots. We had threats from crazy MAGA people at all the voting booths, all the voting centers in the country. You have to stay home. You have to mail in your ballot or you can't vote at all. And it's emergency law. So what are you going to do? Or deploying troops because there's a state of emergency, or rioters. I mean, you could play so many scenarios that are just part of the toolkit of tyranny from history.
Hey, those are my words.
It's like 10 different things you can do to justify an emergency. But the bottom line is there's a very, very, very real danger that we're going to wake up the day after election day without a normal election, without being able to check the vote, without being able to count the ballot, or, and this is the drumbeat I'm hearing, any American who says, I want to count or I want to recount or files, to have a recount, which is a normal part of democracy, right? I was there in 2000 when we did that, both sides did that. They will be called domestic terrorists.
There we go. Stop. There it is. There it is right there. And thank you. Hopefully, Naomi, you won't mind me using toolkit of tyranny. Thank you. Because there it is. She said it all. So what's going on right now? You've got the demonization of patriots. I gave you the exhibits. Killing off of the population, stressing out the healthcare system, which would also hurt the economy, and causing a lack of trust in the remaining, but I digress. You've got the takedown of President Trump, attempted takedown, yet again by Letitia James, hit first, okay? The $250 million civil suit with a parallel criminal investigation. And you've got the weaponization, again, of law enforcement against you and I. That's coming. You can see it with Alex Jones in the lawfare side, but also the criminalization. If you don't think there's going to be criminal charges coming, you're not paying attention, and they're coming. But there's one element that we have to address, and that is nuclear war. So make sure you have your masks ready when you duck and cover under your desk. Bongino clip. Video 5, here it is. All these links can be found in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Clip 5, go ahead.
Here's how I see this thing going moving forward. Here's where I get really concerned. He's already declared a bunch of sham referenda in portions of Donbass and areas he's occupied. So he occupied parts of Ukraine. He's going to put together some kind of fake vote. Let's let people vote on if they want to be Ukrainian or Russian. Joe, how do you think that vote's going to turn out? It's going to turn out for Russia because it's Putin holding the vote. It's going to be, Joe, do you predict the turnout's going to be 99.9% turnout and 99.8% are going to say we want to be Russian because it's a fake vote. So then Putin's going to do what? Sham referendum first in the area. Second, he's going to declare it Russian territory. He's going to say, look, they said this is Russian territory. We took a vote. It'll be like the North Korea vote. And then what happens? When Ukraine takes back the part of its territory they just held the sham referenda occupied by Russia in, what's Putin going to say? You invaded Russia. Time to call up the nukes. I'm not the only one saying this. Once the nukes get called up, tactical battlefield nukes, we got a big, big problem. Here, Associated Press, Putin sets partial military call up and says he's not bluffing on nukes. The partial call up is why I put this headline in there, because if that starts involving Russian elites, Putin's going to have a big problem. He knows that. That's why he says he's not bluffing on nukes, because I think he thinks if he's at risk of being deposed and he's got leaders loyal to him, Joe, it's quite possible he'll launch a tactical nuke. What does he have to lose at that point? He'll be dead soon.
Right.
What's the obvious problem then? Well, Daily Mail. Exclusive. America will retaliate with a devastating strike against Russia's Black Sea fleet or bases in Crimea if Putin follows through in his threat to use nuclear weapons. Here's a problem, folks. I mean, a big problem that could immerse us in World War III. Hold the sham vote. Declare it Russian territory. Ukraine tries to take back its territory claimed by Russia. Russia claims they're attacking Russia, which is in fact Ukraine. Because of the attack on Russia, Putin says our sovereign territory is under attack. We're launching a tactical nuke. They launch a tactical nuke. America has to respond because nuclear fallout will wind up in NATO countries and they'll declare an Article 5 attack. Then what happens? America is going to have to jump in. Well, they're not obligated. We had a couple people on, but they will, at least according to this source, they will jump in and there'll be some kind of attack on Russia. Then what happens? Well, Russia obviously fights back and considers another tactical nuke, which creates a proliferation cascade around the world and an escalation cascade. And then you have to ask the obvious question, which is, well, what does China do then? Folks, again, I don't mean to depress you, but this is a parade of horribles.
And there it is. And there it is. So you've got all of these things taking place right now, while you've got mopes, muppets, and red and blue-haired morons getting their lattes, and they're oblivious to all of this. Or you have so-called patriots saying, stand your ground while wearing a stupid face mask. Or you have pastors saying, we're going to hold a vax clinic right here in our church. Make sure you get your shot. Do it for the public good. Then you've got conservative patriots saying, that's not the hill I want to die on. My question is, which hill? And is it too late to even select a hill? Not for you to die on, but to make the opponent die on theirs. A lot of news, a lot of information, a lot of things jammed into this. Please, please, please share this with everyone you know. I ask this. It's not much to ask, is it? If you think it's worthy of other people seeing, please do this. Think about this. It does require a little soak time, doesn't it? To kind of really think about how things are going. Hey, we're winning. We're going to clean up in the midterms. Are we going to have midterms? You think? Are we going to have normal midterms? What happens if we don't? And what happens if we seemingly do? And people come out and say, hey, that's illegitimate. There was cheating. There was this. There was that. Like in 2020, which there was. You think they're not going to double and triple and quadruple down on you and me? We'll see. Go ahead and post something on Fascist Book or on Twitter. Or post something anywhere. Or say something anywhere. And see if you get the knock on the door when they take you away. Look, folks, this is serious stuff from President Trump. So unprecedented. The raid at his home in Mar-a-Lago. Yes, I know it's a resort, but it's home. The D-class documents, all of the documents. By the way, what they were looking for, and this is what I believe, the documents he had to expose Crossfire Hurricane and expose the weaponization of law enforcement they're looking for. Consider that. Consider the continuation of the emergencies with the injections. Consider the red speech and everything else I mentioned. Take it to God in prayer. And by the way, hit your knees tonight and pray and prepare. Have a good night.